Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Sean is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I think the big thing, well, one of the key factors is that Mitchell Robinson, I think him going down last year in the playoffs, I think it gave the Pacers life. I mean, they were able to go to the basket, attack it, and now you got a healthy Mitchell Robinson, and I think he's a big difference. In the paint. I mean, yesterday he was a plus 19 on the floor. I think game one he was a plus 13. So he gives the Knicks a big defensive presence. I mean, you know, I just wanted your thoughts on that.
You know what it is too, Sean? What's happened here? Now, Mitch has been back for a little bit. Obviously missed a massive chunk of the season. Multiple foot issues. And for anybody, that's problematic. And who knows, you know, if he's here a year from now, whatever. But the Mitch Robinson that we've seen the last couple of games is different than the Mitchell Robinson that we've seen for most of this season. Like, he's having influence, I know this sounds crazy, on the offensive end. And, you know, last night, he had three baskets. And, you know, a couple of stick backs, a couple of little, like, one little spin move. It may have looked a little awkward.
And we're trying to feed him down low, thankfully.
Yeah, true. And, you know, I feel like when he was back for most of this year, which has been very little, I think he was just out there kind of floating, playing some defense. But I feel like the last couple of games, Mitch is kind of getting back to being Mitch in terms of those stick backs and those oops.
See, to me, his defense, the rebounding and the defense, that's the biggest thing that I love about Mitchell Robinson. I don't want him anywhere near the ball on offense. Now, you want to finish around the rim? Sure. I do not want to feed him down low, especially none of the bounce passes. Don't try to get it to him in traffic. I obviously don't want him at the free throw line. Nothing you can do about that. But I like the way that the Knicks used him last night and the way they played that, to me, was perfect. But Mitch defending, even on the perimeter last night, that reminded me of what he did against Embiid in the Sixers series a year ago. He can be a difference maker because he's agile enough to be a little bit outside on the perimeter with his size and his wingspan. He could get a loose ball, dive for it on the floor.
He did that last night at midcourt.
That's what
I'm
saying.
He got down and dirty.
Bingo.
That was awesome.
But those are things that he could do even outside of the paint, which is why I value Mitchell Robinson. He's got to be healthy to do it, but you saw the best of Mitchell Robinson last night to a point where even the missed free throws weren't a detriment to the team. I do worry about, you know, the hack and Mitch stuff, and you're not going to have him on the floor. Certainly, you have offensive possessions late in these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a tighter game, maybe it's a little bit different. But last night was the perfect Mitchell Robinson game.
Listen, we've referenced some stats here, and a lot of them are not conducive to winning. But I think the thing, I'm looking at it again, it just blows my mind. Like, Mikal Bridges plus minus minus six, OG plus minus minus 11, Cat plus minus minus two, Brunson plus minus minus one. Josh Hart plus minus minus seven. And then you got Mitch, who only played 22 minutes, plus 19. Like, it almost seems impossible to achieve that mathematical number on the favorable side when you look at what everybody else who played massive minutes had. It's just It's basically a statistical anomaly. And in a lot of ways, this series has so far been an anomaly.
Ant is calling from Eastchester. What's up, Ant?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Thoughts with your family?
Thank you.
Wanted to say that I think we have seen where a lot of old school Knicks fans, so we got to give BT a break, just didn't like this team. They loved DiVincenzo. A lot of people loved Hartenstein. And, you know, of course, when he left, now all of a sudden everybody loves Randall. But they just weren't looking at this team. They didn't like Towns. They don't love Bridges. They're not as demonstrative. And I don't think they gave him a chance. I think if you watched all season, you saw it was there. And we have new players who didn't play together. Two of them, it's their first year, and it's OG's first full year. And they just didn't give this Knick team a chance. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair. The reason why, though, Anthony, I myself was more patient is because the talent. That's the only thing. Was I sure they were going to gel as a team? I think you could still make the argument they still are gelling here. We still haven't seen this team really click on all cylinders. But the talent was, to me, okay. Like, I had a ceiling on last year's team, even though I liked DiVincenzo and certainly respect what Hartenstein did, there was a ceiling to what that team could do. So I wanted the more talented team, and I was more patient.
Same here.
Yeah, okay, so we were more patient because we believed in the talent. For good or bad, I wanted to see it play out for the course of the year, but certainly understand
Sal,
the other side of it, yeah.
I don't think they could have won with last year's team, even though everybody went down. We would have beaten Indiana. But the second option was not there. Randall obviously was out, but they did not have the Towns, the Bridges. This team was built properly. Rose does need to get some kudos here. This team was built that if one guy is struggling, like last night, someone else will pick up that slack. And I think you're seeing that, and I think it's coming together at the right time. And I'm just hoping now, obviously, they got to finish the job. Game 3 will be huge. And then one quick thing, Brunson versus Ewing. Brunson and Ewing, different players, man. You know, one guy has the ball as a point guard, can move quickly and create. Mm-hmm. The other guy was the best center in our history and probably a top five player, but so hard to say one is better than the other right now.
And not for me, it's not, but I got, by the way, when you say top five player, I assume you mean top five center? I mean, you got to be top five centers. He's not Jordan or Wilt or LeBron or Oscar. I'm not even sure he's a top five center all time, Pat. Matter of fact, I don't think he is. But I'm not here to denigrate Pat. I love him.
Do you want to do the Brunson Ewing thing, or you want to address this stuff from him?
Whatever.
I don't know if you want to respond.
The only thing I would address from him is I have always been an earn your stripes guy. Like when my team signs somebody that I deem, you know, interesting and somebody who I think is going to affect the bottom line, I'm obviously pumped up, but you still got to earn some stripes. And they weren't earning the stripes that I thought that I needed to see them earn, and that was it early. And that was compounded by the fact that there wasn't a lot of outward energy that made me feel better that they were going to bust out of it. Like, they internalize inwardly. Like, Cat shows some emotion, so I need to be fair to him. But Bridges, very, you know, very monotone, very, he is what he is. And I think when you see that, you could take it as maybe softness or disengagement or whatever it might be. So they had to earn their stripes, and they're starting to earn a couple.
All right,
it's great.
So the Ewing-Brunson thing. Here's why I don't think it's close the other way. I know you don't think it's close in favor of Brunson. Look at what Ewing did and what Ewing had around him versus what Brunson is doing and what he has around him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ewing, we're making it a big deal that Brunson, like, people call him a legend because he's hit a couple of big shots in the first round of the playoffs. I know things change and we've evolved and, you know, Pat used to play in a five, best of five in the first round. But Ewing was the guy and there wasn't even a close second option to him. And those Knick teams, it was a bad year if they lost in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was celebrating a first-round victory. Nobody even really celebrated a second-round victory. It was, you got to go win the championship. And every year, I know they didn't obviously win the championship, but they did get to the finals twice, even though the second time was not necessarily led by Ewing. It was a different version of the team with Sprewell and Camby, whatever. But Ewing led those Knicks teams by himself. And the only thing that really prevented them from winning a championship was that he had nobody else that was even close to a B player.
I agree with that. Like, that's, to me, the biggest defense, the most effective defense for Patrick. And I fully accept that because I lived it.
Right.
And, you know, how many years? Oh, please. That's why they brought in Xavier McDaniel. He was only here for a year.
Right.
That's why they brought in Roe Blackman. That's why they brought in Kiki Vandeweghe. Like, they were always trying to find a second act there
for Pat. The rumors about Mitch Richmond. And by the time they did get, and never ended up getting him, obviously. By the time they did get other players, he was not, Pat was not the same player. And when they went to that second version
Team. For sure. He had the diminished of the Achilles.
And then in when Houston and Sprewell and Camby, they took over that team and them far. But then they needed a healthy Ewing to be able to beat the Spurs in that 99 finals.
And they didn't have him.
Yeah,
remember the dunk that he threw on Zoe?
Yeah.
The baseline, like older Patrick. That was crazy. By the way, some other day, not now, for timing, and I can't do it yet. I have a doozy that really nobody's ever really written about this. And it came from literally a person who would have been directly impacted. The Knicks and the Warriors were this close to trading Ewing and Mullen.
Trading Ewing?
Mullen for Ewing or Ewing for Mullen.
Oh, God.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that.
I'll tell you, maybe I got to write about it someday. That was, either way. Okay.
So that's the Ewing side of it.
The Ewing side is what it is. We lived through it. You're not wrong. You're not making stuff up. I look at it very differently. I don't look at stats. I don't look at support cast. I don't look about the aesthetics of the league, how it's changed. I don't look at Pat Riley versus Tom Thibodeau or Van Gundy. I come down to one very basic barometer. My level of comfortability when Jalen Brunson has the ball and the Knicks need something good to happen is 100%. With Patrick, it wasn't even close. And let me just back that up. Why? When Pat would get the ball, now listen, I could easily slant this and make it seem like it happened all the time. It obviously didn't. Patrick had a lot of big buckets, clearly. I mean, 94, he sent them into the finals with the tip and off Starks' dunk. I get that. But Patrick, and just close your eyes and think about these big moments, no matter who the opponent was. Down to Patrick, Patrick fumbles it. Patrick gets it back. Patrick pushed off his mark. Patrick fouled. First free throw, no good. Back rim. Patrick missed a lot, and I was at the game where Hubert, I told you, when Hugh Hollins bailed out the Knicks, and Hubert Davis bailed out Patrick Ewing that night because Patrick missed big free throws. So, again, not about the numbers, not about a Hall of Fame, the retired numbers. Knicks are in trouble. Jalen's got the rock. My feet are on the couch like, we good. Patrick gets the rock. I'm sweating.
My counter would be, I'm not trying to minimize Brunson, but he hasn't gotten out of the second round yet. And he doesn't have to do it the way that Ewing did. I know what you're saying, that you could trust.
You have to agree with that, right? Because you watched Pat dump down the ball to Patrick, 13 seconds to go in the game. Here comes the double team. He's got to make a quick read, make a pass. Not a good passer, by the way. Versus the level of comfort when Brunson's getting ready to yo-yo somebody to take one to win it.
But it's hard because everybody in the world knew what the Knicks were going to try to do.
Everybody knows what Brunson's going
to
do.
I know, but they're two different players. So it's easier to me to defend or double a big man who by nature is not as smooth.
Mm-hmm. Hakeem was smooth. Tim Duncan was smooth.
I know.
I don't like to turn this into denigrate Pat, but Patrick came up small a lot.
I think he just did, Sal. The way that I would answer the question is not who's the more clutch player, and you could answer it however you want, or who you would trust with the...
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Game on the line. I would answer the question is, who's the more impactful individual on his team?
It's still Brunson for me. It's still Jalen for me.
And for me, it's Ewing. And
it's amazing. Yeah, we're still there. Even if you take it a different direction, we stay with the same guy. I respect that. I get it.
BT and Sal.
I'm not here to hate on the big fella. No, I like it.
It's a fun conversation.
It is.
We just disagree on it. Nick is calling from Jackson Heights. What's up, Nick?
Gentlemen, it's a great conversation, but that's not why I called. Great show. Tonight, May 8th, 1970, I was 11 years old. I listened to the first championship on the transistor radio, jumping through the roof, BT.
Wow.
And I have to tell you,
it wasn't on TV? Wait, it wasn't on TV? Tape delay?
I think it was on closed circuit in Manhattan. We live in Jackson Heights.
Oh, my God.
And we couldn't get it on TV. It was on WOR.
I got you.
On the you guys know what a transistor radio is, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
So we listened to that game, guys, and the 73 Knicks that had the best backcourt in basketball history was very similar to this team, with like a Brunson Bridges 1-2 with a big man in the middle, not powerful, Jerry Lucas. Uh-huh. He was not Willis, but similar to Towns, a big outside shooter. He would shoot that arc shot.
Mm-hmm.
So very a lot of similarities. And I know you,
Nick. Nick, I got a question for you that you can only answer because I didn't see him play. So the thing, when the Knicks won their second championship, Sal, I think you're going to find this interesting too. When they get the second championship and Earl the Pearl Monroe comes in. Now, Earl was a monster, man. But the ego, both from him and Clyde and the others, like did it take that team a while to mesh like it took this team?
No, not at all. And I remember the headlines. How are Earl and Frazier going to get along?
Yeah.
Who's going to get the ball first? And let me tell you something. I've met Walt Frazier since then. He coached my son at the Knick camps. And I told him, I said, what you guys did could never be duplicated. That's why I say they're the best backcourt. Because Frazier knew his role, and Earl knew his role.
I got you.
And let me tell you something. Watching those two guys, fellas, I've never seen anything like it. Curry, Thompson, you can tell me anybody.
Yep.
Goodrich, West were close. But Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe were unbelievable.
I believe you, man.
And they had Bradley, who was like a Malik, like a Bridges.
We know the starting Holtzman coach. We know. Yeah. We just didn't see him. We know the names. That's why, thanks for the call, Nick. We all know the names. We want some images to go with the names that we know now.
Yeah, I want to see this team do what those teams did.
Gotcha, can you win one for a Knicks? One. One.
For me, it still wouldn't be the same as it would have been if Ewing and the 90s Knicks were able to close it out, or even the 99 team. It's different, obviously, many, many years removed.
Yep.
But it still would be a nice culmination. Same thing with the Mets. Like, even if the Mets won now, it wouldn't be the same to me as it would have meant 25 years ago.
Just because you're
older?
Just because you're in the business? A little bit of both?
I think age is definitely a part of it, but less about the number in age and more about, back then, 25 years ago, or however many years ago you want to go back, that was the only thing in my life that mattered to me. Like, you love your family, I didn't have a wife. I didn't have a kid. I didn't have any bills.
Yeah.
The Mets, the Knicks, the Rangers, whatever, football. Like, that's the only thing that mattered in my life. So as you get older, that pie chart where it goes from 95% sports, it dwindles down.
What was the
down.
Other 5%? Dating?
Family, probably.
Or trying to date.
Depends what age. Yeah, I don't even know if I cared much about that, to be honest. I was more into the Knicks and all that stuff. Yeah. I turned down going to proms or whatever it was because I was watching the Knicks playoff game. I forget what it was. But anyway, that pie chart is like, there's no other way to explain it. It shrinks.
I know.
So, we're still diehard sports fans, or I'm a diehard sports fan. And it would still mean a lot looking back to, man, this is great to have an appreciation for what the franchise is able to do that the teams that I grew up really loving weren't able to do. But I definitely think as you get older and that chart gets divided more.
For most of us, not there are some, like, I don't know. I think for Evan.
Beningo,
Well, Beningo's one of them. I think Evan is one of them, too. I really do. Like, I think Marash with his Rangers, maybe. I don't know. Like, we love it. The first thing I think about this morning, well, I mean, last night was unique and amazing, but I'm already into, all right, what time's our game tonight? Like, that's, like, talk about the pie chart.
Right.
What time, like, there's my son's game, but not because I know the Knicks are off tonight. And last night was my daughter's dance. And, like I like the way you describe that, the pie chart. You just, each year, a little chunk gets taken away. And that's okay. Just like, I know nothing will ever replicate for me emotionally when the Yankees won at 96 because I was too young in 77, 78, and I was just out of school, and I was there, and I was a nutball, and I played, and this and that. Like, I'd never seen it. All I heard about was Yankees winning. I finally get to feel it. And they've won a bunch since. Been a while, but they won a bunch since. It won't. It would be great. It won't feel the same.
Yeah,
it won't.
Well, and it doesn't mean we're less than less than fans.
It's no.
just a different circumstance. I don't think you could be more of a fan than I was of the Knicks in the 90s or whatever year you want to go back to.
Yeah.
It's just I'm just not at. It was the only thing that mattered in my life. So I think it'd be great. I'd love to see them win a championship. Now again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Would you hit the parade?
I don't know because the parades just aren't my thing, especially now. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be cool for us to go do a show there or something like that. I don't know if that's possible, but other than that, why would you go? I mean, parades feel like it's for the younger.
Especially a Knick parade. Can you imagine a Knick parade?
They basically parades outside even if the Knicks aren't playing in the Garden.
That's right.
They're doing it round one, round two. That's what it feels like.
The Knicks 121, Charlotte 89, Knick parade, January 5th, whatever it might be. Oh my God. Would I try to go? I would try to go to the Knick parade.
One of my biggest sports.
But we'd be on the air. What am I saying?
We'd
have to be there.
One of my biggest regrets as a sports fan is not going to the 94 parade for the Rangers. It's the only one I had a chance to do.
How old were you again?
14.
My,
I was right now.
But that's not your fault. Like, somebody's got to take you.
Nah, I think
could you come into the city by yourself?
Some of my friends, but we were in, I think we were about to go to ninth grade, if I'm not mistaken. It was the summer between 8th and 9th.
And your parents would have let you take a train in from
I don't remember what happened. Maybe
Long
they
Island?
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't have, but I know some of my friends went.
I was on the trains in the 8th grade because I was going to summer school. You had to going into 9th grade at Xavier. So
I would have had to have gone with friends. I don't recall if I was going to be allowed to or not.
That's pretty young still, 8th grade.
Yeah, it's not a train 25 minutes away. You're talking about a train an hour and a half away going in the city with chaos and a parade.
Well, your mom, was she a worrier?
Oh, my God.
So was mine, the Italian, right? But but your dad didn't worry much, right?
No, I think he let her do the worrying. But
my dad didn't worry at all.
He would be the more disciplinarian.
He worried two things. Yeah. Was I disrespectful and what were the grades? That's the only thing he worried about.
Daryl is calling from Manhattan and has an update with something here from the Vatican, apparently. Daryl?
Well, I wanted to get you guys' opinion on the little irony that we're seeing play out between the Knicks beating the Celtics and now a Villanova grad, Pope Leo, Robert Prevost, being elected the new pope. I want to get your guys' thoughts to see if there's any connection, number one.
I have no idea about
it. Well, if they win the championship, I'll make that connection.
Is it? Do we know that to be even factual?
100%. I would not call up the fan and lie to you guys.
No, like we couldn't get a St. John's pope.
So the
come on.
So if the pope is in fact, and we're going to take you for your word, Daryl, because we're trusting.
No,
we're
just Google
you.
It. I'm not making this up. Just put it into Google.
And no, that's fair. Google, I mean, I didn't have time to. We'll Google it, but I'm going to take you at your word for now before we can Google it. And I don't care about this, but. If he is, in fact, a Villanova grad, and seems like he is, I do think, BT, that remember I was talking about signs the other day?
Oh, yeah.
I think that could be a sign, right, Daryl?
Should
be a sign. More,
let's get serious, guys. If they don't win the championship here, so I think the expectations have been raised. I know, BT, you kind of wore down on them recently, but now you have to admit they're going to win this series. And if they don't, if they don't advance to the finals, will they bring in Jay Wright? Is that just like a foregone conclusion?
No, they're not bringing in Jay Wright.
Wait a minute. Why do you dismiss it, BT?
I don't think Jay Wright wants to jump into the rigors of the NBA.
Fine.
That's why.
If you give him $10 million, what are these coaches making these days?
No, they're making a lot of money. Yeah, no, I got you. They're making a lot of money.
He retired from NCAA basketball, the college, because of what they're doing with the new rules. But if you bring him to the NBA, he's got the three Villanova guys. I mean, why wouldn't he? $10 million, $15 million.
Daryl, but wait,
I think it's a no-brainer.
It's not a no-brainer. You don't know if he can coach in the NBA. It's not a no-brainer, Daryl.
How do you dismiss it like that?
But why would you fire Tom Thibodeau?
Because if he doesn't make the finals, if he doesn't bring in Jay Wright, I don't understand. How do you even? Why are you guys dismissing this?
Daryl, hold on.
Hey,
Daryl, I got two words for you. Daryl, two words for it. Kyle Neptune, peace out. That's the Villanova coach who got fired. Enough of the Villanova propaganda. I got a lot of respect for Villanova, but enough. Now, number one, he was right in this regard. The newly appointed pope. Okay. We know the smoke came out. I didn't know his name. I didn't know his background. I would dive into that when I got home, but I was told he is indeed Villanova class of 77.
You didn't really get into that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, more when I was younger. I follow it. I do. He has a degree in mathematics, I believe. If that is correct, Toph, I believe mathematics is math's background. Now, the thing about Jay Wright.
What is that going to help him out?
Today's world, you need a lot of degrees, buddy. I would start with common sense.
Hopefully well, he was able to count all the votes properly, I believe.
I hope he has a common sense degree.
Conclave was a good movie. That's basically my extent of
what is
the,
it called? Conclave.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Good movie.
It's about
Really? Yeah, about how they chose.
I'd actually like to see that.
I didn't even know that it was, like, was it supposed to be because we were due for new Pope, or did this, the other
he
guy?
He
died.
He was sick. He was sick for cancer. He was sick for a while.
So then maybe they did. No, I don't know. Either way, it was a great movie.
How do they create the white smoke?
So they just take big bong hits because they're in the room figuring out who the new Pope is going to be. So that's, they just let it out. That's what they do.
Anyway, okay. So
I don't know.
Here's why I think it's ridiculous. How are you calling up the radio station today? Uh-huh. Like, I get the Pope tie-in with Villanova.
Yeah, he's a Villanova guy.
Okay,
he's
fair enough. But how are you talking about hiring Jay Wright? The Knicks
today?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, maybe he's actually not a big Knicks fan. He's a big Villanova guy. Right. And he's looking for a way to get his guy in there. Listen, I think that Jay Wright's phenomenal. I happen to think that Jay, I could be out of school here, is very comfortable making good TV money. I know he got very disgusted with the way college, and why wouldn't you? The way college basketball has gone lately. You want to know part of that racket anymore? Now, the thing, though, like, if they don't win the series, and I've said, you know, what I've said about Tom Thibodeau, but why I would not fire Tom Thibodeau for Jay Wright. Now, the Malone situation's different. That's an NBA champion, all right? Is because I don't know if Jay Wright could coach in the NBA. That's not a knock on Jay's, you know, basketball prowess, but if you look at whether it's Billy Donovan, there's a long list of people who have gone from college to the pros where it just doesn't translate. Now, maybe Jay would reverse that trend. And by the way, if I gave somebody, you know, good odds to reverse that trend, Jay would be at the top of my list. I think he's that adaptable, and I think he's that good. Like, I think Danny Hurley would have a rougher time in the NBA because he's a nut, and he'd have to kind of change who he is, and that wouldn't be good, whereas Jay can kind of be himself more, which would be good for him. But I would not fire Tom Thibodeau for Jay Wright.
Yeah, and I just think the idea of bringing that up today is ludicrous. Nobody cares about Villanova today. We're talking about the Knicks.
Johnny's all the way, by the way.
You know, I mean,
Jahi Rick Pitino. No, don't. Please don't take him away.
No. Tibbs is fine. Can we leave Tibbs alone, for goodness sake? It goes from, if he loses the first round of the Pistons, which nobody really thought was going to happen anyway, then, if they're not competitive, now it's, if they don't get to the finals. Good God. For an unproven, like, today's not the day. You want to talk about the Pope? You can talk about the Pope. It's not the day to talk about Jay Wright.
What's Francesca doing? Thibodeau. He's the Pope.
Barry is calling from Syosset. What's up, Barry? Barry?
What up, BT and Sal? How's it going?
What's up, Barry?
Hey, Bear.
Big fan of the show. After last night's game, I was just super pumped. I wish you guys had a live reaction that I could just watch. I love you. I love you two bald-headed brothers, bro. You guys are amazing.
Maybe we'll give you a live reaction after one of these games here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that would be awesome. I've been defending the Bridges trade all season, and it finally feels good to have it pay off. He's an elite-level role player. You need those types of role players to win championships. I think he's as good as Derek White. I think he's as good as Drew Holiday. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Mikal Bridges. And it helps that he's really good-looking, too.
He doesn't sweat at all. This guy, like, Mikal Bridges does not sweat at all. He plays 50 minutes a night, doesn't sweat.
Your thoughts on his looks? 1 to 10?
Is that right? I think there's better-looking guys than Bridges, if you want me to be honest. I mean, he doesn't look like Denzel. I mean, I can admit when a guy's good looking, easily. I just never looked at Mikal Bridges and said, "Wow, that guy's handsome."
I gotta be honest with you. I like Mikal Bridges. He is a handsome guy, but his jawline is off. His teeth are too. It's something about his teeth are just.
You notice these things?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, his jumper from quarters 1 through 3.
So
who's
the best looking Nick? It's got to be Josh Hart, right? Like, I don't know, if you do a reality show and you got, you know, 20 girls and you got all the Knicks, Josh Hart's got to be the man. Come on.
I'm Deuce. I'm
got
trying
the
to think.
Swag. He's in good shape. He's not like 7'1 gangly.
I mean,
not,
Jericho Sims looks pretty good.
Who?
He's not even a Knick anymore. Sims.
No,
that's what he just said.
Who's on the bench? There's a guy on
Precious
the bench.
Achiuwa, who did not play last night.
Achiuwa, no. I would. I mean,
you gotta go, Josh Hart. Don't overthink this thing.
But doesn't Jalen Brunson look really good to you?
No.
Dude, come on. To me, it's all about, you know. Again,
I'm not trying to date him. I'm rooting for him, but I just in terms of like on the, you know, we had the sack-o-meter on the good looking scale.
Yeah.
I think Josh Hart's a good-looking guy. I would even say I could see OG walking into a club and just yeah, I to have it his way.
I could see Hart.
Think about OG with a nice dark suit with a couple of buttons open.
Yeah.
Good hair. Yeah, all right. Good shape. Good size ratio.
Who are you saying, Huff?
I'm going to say his name wrong.
Kolek?
Pacom Dadier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nah.
I wouldn't be able to pick him out of the lineup. I mean, where you came?
He looked, no, he's very stylish on the bench.
Jericho Sims, he called
it. I know.
That's what he looked like.
He has been here for 4 months. Good call.
Jericho Sims. Yeah. Anyway, what was the point? Oh, about Bridges being on the level of Derek White he was talking about?
Yeah. What do we think about his game? Looks. Listen, here's the thing about, and this is what's confounding about Bridges, and I said this to you hours ago. Like, generally, the guys who don't show up in this city don't show up because they don't have, like, the fortitude. Like, it's very, like, well, and maybe Devin Williams last night is an example. Maybe that was the first step in him healing himself, and he does have the fortitude, just a rough start, whatever. But the guys who generally fail here, the guys we expect a lot from, aren't, it's not because they have zero talent, it's because they couldn't assimilate to our city, which is what, and our pressures. It's what makes Mikal Bridges very unique in the sense that He does nothing, zero, and he's almost too passive, too accepting of not. Never goes shot hunting, doesn't express anything, and then when the game is on the line, he becomes a fourth quarter demon, which is counter to what you think he would do because of how quiet he is and how uninvolved he is for the first three quarters.
And it's helped the Knicks obviously tremendously in these first two games. I think it would help even more if he started out playing well. Although, like, if you had me to pick one, I'd rather have him close than start early, but I think if you are consistent throughout, that's how you become a true star player, and also that's how the Knicks would be more consistent or more trustworthy if they play a better game from quarters one through four as opposed to having to dig out. We're watching the replay again. I mean, they were down 10 with 4.5 minutes to go. Like, not only down 16 in the fourth quarter, but down 10 with 4 minutes to go.
It really is amazing. Is this real?
Even now, watching it again. Huh? I mean,
expecting something bad, right?
Yeah, down 7 with 3 minutes to go. Like, that, it takes a lot to overcome that.
Oh, that's the Hart little scoop shot with the 1 foot.
Josh Hart is so underappreciated.
He is.
I'm surprised at you because you love
Devo. I love him. What? I just can't shoot that much.
You ripped him to shreds. He can't shoot that much. You ripped him to shreds in the Pistons series. Oh, Josh Hart, he can't shoot. He can't. He's been shooting. By the way, he's been shooting just fine, even with his hesitation. Like, that was some of the criticism you would give him, hesitating from beyond.
More so than his inefficiency, because you're playing 4-on-5, but spacing.
You don't need him to be, look, obviously you want high efficiency shooters, but Bridges has not been efficient. He's just been clutch. You don't need him to be high efficiency when you have the other guys there, but he does need to contribute. And when he does, it takes them to a whole nother stratosphere. And last night he was a high contributor.
No doubt. And he is a warrior. But I do, it's a subtle thing here, but it matters. You ever notice how, like, it seems, really until the fourth quarter, that, like, the Knicks aren't open? Like, they're not open much. You notice that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with him being on the court so much.
He's the one. Josh Hart's the one that's open.
He's open by design.
I know.
So when you can run somebody else and you're a well-coached, well-principled champion team, you know, you're going to have less space to operate, which I think is a detriment to the Knicks. And one more thing on style, since we're talking about, not that I care how handsome Mikal Bridges is or is not.
Looks a lot better when he's in a fourth quarter and overtime. But
he's splashing those nets. I'll date you.
Yeah, right.
But I do think that it's time to give a fashion tip out here.
Okay.
I thought it many times this year, more so this year. I noticed it last year. I'm like, it's just getting older. It's all good. Official fashion tip for Tom Thibodeau. Shave the hair. You're not fooling anybody. I mean, it's becoming an aggressive, slick parting, and it's not much up there, man.
I know, but shaving
we're wrestling with strands.
I know.
Shave it.
You know me. I'm always in the...
Yeah, you should be with me.
We had to do it. Yes.
You don't want him in our club?
I feel like with him, it might look a little...
What?
Startling at first.
It will, just like us, too. You know, you don't think when first time we did it?
Maybe.
It was a little
It was a kind of a
different.
Gradual...
me too. It was gradual. Well, he's pretty great. He doesn't have a lot. It's not like he's going from Jericho Sims to bring him up again to,
I know.
He's got about 6 or 7 strands of hair on top of that head, and he's really putting that gel on thick.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got to give it a good look.
It is.
You don't even have to give it a good look. You just watch the game for a smile. Just watch with one eye. Like, well, that's not a good look. Just, don't go Bick all around. Go one clip. Even go 1.5 if you want to start. Maybe jump into the pool up to your ankles.
But just clean it up. Yeah.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Finally, took a little while to get going.
Yep.
I mean, you hang it on like Jefferson.
I can't tell you how excited I am, honestly. Yesterday and the game before, honestly, a roller coaster of emotions, really, with the way the games have been going. You know, to go down 20 in both games and come back and fight, it's just ridiculous, you know, crazy. And so I'm excited, but I don't want you to think that my excitement is like, you know, overly exuberant,
right?
Because I know what's ahead of me. I know Boston is the best road team in the league. I think statistically they had the best road record in the league, so I know what they could be. But that being said, I said this to you last week. I think it was just BT on the air. And BT, honestly, I'm glad you came out on the air today and took accountability for the way you've been acting for the past couple of months. Gotta be honest.
You know, the way you've been acting.
Yeah, well, you've been acting.
Listen, if the word Hartenstein came out of your mouth one more time, I would. Yeah.
That's my guy. I still miss him.
But listen, I love you, BT. I love you.
Thanks,
BT. Did text. We should say, AJ, he did text last night. I saw it after the fact. A little Mitchell Robinson and muscle emoji. So
yes,
coming around on Mitch. The Avid call of the day. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's finish up here on the phones. Mm-hmm. BT, how much time we have? A few minutes, though?
Probably 2 or 3.
Vinny's on Long Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good, Ben. Good, buddy.
Love you guys' energy all the time. You guys bring it every day, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thoughts and prayers to you and your family, brother.
Thank you,
Listen,
Ben.
A couple of things. First of all, these Knicks fans that call in and they have any type of negativity today, I don't know what they're saying. They need to hand in their Knick card for the rest of the season. That's ridiculous. Secondly, real quick, I know the team, both the Knicks and the Celtics, their offenses have not been where they need to be, but if they get their best games, both offensively, the way our defense is playing, I would take that any day of the week to shut them down. I think if and when we're blessed enough to win, and I'm not going that far and saying we're going all the way, but if we are, an honorary ring goes to Detroit, the organization, to showing us how to play defense and step it up. And one last thing. To get that, to talk about the Pope real quick, I'm all about signs now. I recently lost both my parents. I'm all about signs. And I'll tell you right now, all you analysts that did not pick the Knicks and said they did not have a chance, do the new math, like our new Pope, Nick Nova, okay? Do the new math. 2 wins plus 2 more wins equals on to the next round. Let's get it done, baby. Go.
Woo! Gave me goosebumps, Vinny, and condolences to you and your family as well. We appreciate the kind thoughts that you sent this way. Gives me goosebumps, BT. That, to me, is the perfect right energy. Not getting too far ahead of themselves. Mm-hmm. Do the math. 2 were in the books. 2 more, first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. And potentially against a team that we feel much better about facing than the, you know, original favorites, looking at potentially Celtics then the Cavs. Now it might be the Celtics. Dangerous Pacers team, mm-hmm. but a Pacers team that the Knicks would have home court advantage over.
You think they win that series if we get the four? Like, if it's the Pacers, forget about Knicks Pacers.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Pacers actually hold on and win this series?
I'm not sold yet.
Me neither.
I think either way, though, if the Knicks win this series, I do not believe they will be stopped from getting to the NBA Finals.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the championship. Yeah. I don't think anybody left standing in the East after Boston is going to stop the Knicks now.
I don't want to know cold water. I would still be worried about a healthy Cavs team, but they're not healthy right now.
They're not healthy. And also that would be a terrible even though the Cavs were great in the regular season, still inexperienced. You just knocked off the champs. I would be surprised if the Knicks, if they beat Boston, which is still a big if they beat Boston and lost to one of the other two teams. Ted is calling from Hewlett. What's up, Ted?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Okay,
you know,
Ted.
Hey, guys, I got to start by saying this. I love you guys. You just make my day. Every time you're on the radio, sometimes I'm driving a lot. I don't know what to listen to. You guys, best thing on sports talk radio of all time. And you guys are so good together. And so, thank you for being you. I was on hold for a long time waiting to call in, and I just enjoyed listening to you guys talk. I could do this all day.
That's great, so, man.
We appreciate that.
Thanks, buddy.
Of course. Now, having said that,
yeah,
and I love talking about Knicks. I've been a Knicks fan for 55 years. I'm 65 years old. I've been a Knicks fan for 55 years. I had season tickets for 20 years. I saw every game that Patrick Ewing ever played as a guard, virtually every game.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Here's what I can tell you. You can't compare Patrick Ewing and Jalen Brunson. Two completely different players, two completely different supporting cast. I just don't think you can compare them. It's not one versus the other. If Patrick Ewing could have finger rolled, we win a championship. If John Starks could have hit a three against Houston, we would have won a championship.
Yep.
Charles Smith.